You better get comfortable. It's time to get ready for another episode of the Tipsy Teacher Podcast. If you're a teacher and you think spring break should be at least a week long, then you are home. In this episode, we will be discussing what it takes to be a published author and teacher and wifey. Ooh, can you say teacher side gig? Let's get this thing started. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Tipsy Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Kind Vine Teacher Wines, the wine that fuels and funds teachers. If you tune in until the end of this podcast, we have a special discount code waiting for you for your next online order at teacherwines.com. We are so glad that you are back and super excited to laugh, vent, and entertain our hardworking teachers. Now it is time for you to sit back and relax. But just a reminder that homework is for home, and so is this podcast. Tipsy Teacher is NSFW, not suitable for work, friends. So if you're at work, turn that shit down. Boo, boo, boo. All right. So today on the podcast, we have Catherine Rusky. Do you go by Katie or do people call you Catherine?
Katie. If they call me Catherine.
I was like, when I typed out Catherine, close. I was like, this seems very formal.
Yeah. No, everyone calls me Katie.
Okay, yes. So Katie Rusky, I met Katie at the Ocean City Wine Festival, Wine on the Beach. It was 2 years ago, right?
And that was really fun. That was a really fun event. We should probably do that again this year.
It was really fun. It was really, really fun. And it was 2 years ago. Last year was like kind of dead. It was weird. So if you're looking for a festival to go to, Wine on the Beach is super fun and it's beautiful. And you're literally on the beach.
Full of teachers. Like, honestly.
So many teachers.
I would say 70% teachers.
Yeah, and they're all there on Friday. They all took the day off in September.
They really
did. And I love it when somebody in line like gives them shit for it, and they're like, no, I'm here.
Right.
Tough luck. Yeah.
We need breaks too.
Exactly. Exactly. So Katie was in a tent behind us, and you know, I never saw her because our wall was there, but she kept seeing people coming to our booth. So finally she came around and was like, hey, I write children's books. And you sell wine for teachers. This is a partnership we need to get moving. So we had your Katie line, on the podcast.
Your line was seriously like long. Like there was just like miles and miles of people like at your tent all day long. And I'm over there like,
has anybody read my book? You should have started doing a read aloud in the lines. Honestly, that's the move.
Except just, like, walked right down.
Yeah, just hi. And then just do a picture walk first. yeah, our lines are crazy at festivals, and we are kicking off festival season like so soon. I mean, it's been happening, but like the big ones are coming up, and I'm getting excited because they're the ones that I am like in charge of. And just like if you're on Instagram or Facebook and you're following the Tipsy Teacher or the Tipsy Teach on Instagram, I'm gonna make like a little like Brit goes on tour schedule so that everybody can see like which ones I'll be at, and then like come volunteer, come hang out, buy tickets. I don't care what you do, but like. Just come because it's really
and
fun.
I think it's so cool that you have like volunteer teachers come and do that too. Like that's
it's
like
so fun.
Who else does that? Like nobody.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, actually, other wineries do it. We took the idea. We were like, oh, you guys just have volunteers that sign up? That sounds great.
Yeah, but teacher volunteers.
Oh yeah, but teacher volunteers. Right. Yes,
that's
yes. Agreed. Agreed. And then like a lot of our teacher volunteers become our teacher captains, and that's a way to make money with us. So if anybody
there we
says
go.
Yeah, a little side gig, you know, come hang out with us.
All about the side gigs.
Because teachers are all about the side gigs, which brings us to Katie. I already said she is a published writer. She has written children's books. She also writes adult novels.
I know, like, I don't know how to, like, explain it. It's not, like, adult novels. It's, like,
yeah,
a novel
for adults.
Like, it's, like, not a children's book. So, like, how do you brand yourself? Yeah. Yes, my name is Katie, and I'm a children's book author, but I also have a novel written about the White Marlin Open, which is the largest billfish tournament in the entire world. Last year, it was worth $10.4 million, I think. So, if you like a little bit of scandal, a lot of Ocean City, a lot of fishing, that's the novel to go to.
I just love it. I just think it's so much fun. So, have you written anything, like, new that you want to, like,
so nothing, no new children's books per se, nothing storybook wise, but I do have something in the works, an activity book per se, and it's all Ocean City based. So I found my illustrator and I didn't find her. She actually worked for me for one of my other books. She illustrated, here I have it. She illustrated If You Give a Crab a Seashell, which is like the nautical portion of if you give a mouse a cookie. So it's the same idea, just nautical ideas. But she also had such great illustrations in there that I was like, I think I should probably do an activity book all based on Ocean City. But also, you know, Assateague Island, like coloring pages, some word searches of things you find in Ocean City, like what do you put in your beach bag? So that is going to be out probably this summer.
Do you remember the Bay Guide or the Bay Game?
The seagull.
Okay, maybe it was like, I think it was a heron, a blue herring.
So you go to the Bay Bridge and you ask for that little booklet, yes. Right? Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
We had the signs and the checkpoints from the Bay Bridge to Ocean City, and we look forward to playing that game every year when we went with my parents.
And then now there's no toll. There's nobody at the tolls, and
they got rid of it. They got rid of it in I think it said 2005. Because when I had kids, I was like, this is when we get the Bay Game, and then
right.
It's been going for a while. You should somehow
bring it back, but do an electronic version though.
Scan the QR code. Scan the QR code of my book and play the new. Can you call it Bay Game? I mean, I'm just saying this is.
I don't know. We'll call it something. That's actually a genius idea. I think this is just okay. Writing it down.
Sometimes I have ideas. But no, yeah,
that's like a really big like childhood like memory, like getting the Bay Game
memory.
And like going through like you know checking off all the things that you saw once you got to the beach, like once you got to the 50 Bridge, like you knew you were there.
Yeah, and I learned so much about Maryland that way. And
yeah.
Like how important all the watershed and all that.
Yeah, like
exactly
ecosystems.
What I learned, but I know that it made the time go by faster too. And my
mom
was very grateful.
Definitely.
And I won the coloring contest for it one year.
What?
Do you remember how they did that? You had to color and like design the cover or whatever?
No, I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Well, so like on the back page every year it was like design the cover. My parents used me, fun fact about me. My parents used me for coloring contests because I was a really good, like, little artist for a child. I am not a good artist. and so I did I designed the cover of the Bay Game one year. I had to see, my mom printed it out. Like, she had it in her little office for so long. I wonder if she still has it, if I can find it.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. My little, like, blue herring, which I feel like I'm saying, heron.
Heron, yeah.
Yeah, God.
Not the one with the, I always think like one leg is like a flamingo, but the
heron. Yeah, no. The one that ate all of the fish in our fish pond in my backyard. That's the one.
That's fun. That's really funny. Well, you said like your parents used you for artwork. My dad, the Baltimore Sun, used to have like something in the comic where they would put like a blank egg and you had to like decorate the egg per like whatever it was. Yeah, you could like decorate the egg and then you could submit your egg. And my dad was like, you should do a deviled egg. I'm like, Dad, that's like already a thing. He's like, no, like decorate it like how you a devil. So I like had horns and I won. So I got in there too. Look at us.
I love it. I did.
Where's our awards or medals?
I won so many coloring contests. It was ridiculous. I won one where I designed a race car. That one was cool for NASCAR.
What?
Yeah, they were literally like talking about me. Like the announcers were like, who would make a purple and green car? I don't know, but it's just this girl from Clear Spray. And I'm like,
that's me.
Then I won another one. And I don't remember what I drew or what I colored, but I ended up with like a 5-foot Scooby-Doo stuffed animal. That was what I
wanted.
And then they accidentally sent me two. So I had two of these 5-foot Scooby-Doos.
Oh my God.
And my parents, dude, they never got rid of, they still have everything. So I had these two Scooby-Doos for years.
Oh my God. So kids love contests. Like that's what, I feel like there should be like more like kid-friendly contests like that. I don't see them as much. Maybe I just don't, maybe I'm not looking in the right spots for them.
No,
but
they don't want kids to be winners anymore because then that means there's losers, you know?
True.
But if you do this activity, well, you are. When you do this activity book, the QR code that you put could, like, change. You could have coloring contests again. Like,
ooh, and like
the QR code, play the Bay Game, and enter to win whatever.
That's awesome. That's actually really
cool. And their, like, coloring thing could just be the cover of what the QR code is, like, every month. During the summer or something like that. You
what?
Know?
That's actually a genius idea.
No one steal this.
Right.
I'm cutting all of this out.
So I write for oceancity.com because we talk about, you know, side jobs and like side hustles. So in the summertime, more so in the summer, but I write for oceancity.com and I came up with the family sandcastle contest. So families would build sandcastles. They would take pictures of them and then I got to pick which sandcastle won for the month. And then I would do like a little article about the family and interview them. And I always thought that, like, I thought that's a cool idea because
that is not cool. Only... Is that happening this summer?
Yeah.
Does it start in May?
I can make it start in May.
My dad is so good at building sand things. Like, he does animals and people are like stop and take their picture with
so
my
that's
dad.
The stuff that I got like was incredible. Like they were these two or three families that happened to meet each other on the beach when their kids were little. It's down like between like 50th and 100th Street, I think it was. And their kids ended up like bonding over or on this like sand couch that the dads had made. And they decided they would do it every single year. So these families have gone to their kids' weddings and like they do it every single year and they have a theme every year. Like the one was like Snoopy and like some, it's like incredible.
I love people sometimes, you know?
It is really fun. Like, it was like how Ocean City like brings people together. But like
that was cute. That is so cute. Okay. All right. Well, I love that. So on the same topic, what is your favorite book that you have written? What is your very favorite?
That's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah. Well, you have to. Just kidding.
Well, I always, so actually I got interviewed on the news a couple months ago and they asked me the same exact question. I was like, well, this is my favorite elf book, Elf Kitchen. And this is my favorite snow day book that I wrote. And this is my favorite summer book. And oh, look, here's my favorite adult read. So, and I'm sure that it will change like throughout. Like my favorite children's book that I wrote is The ABCs of Ocean City, because that was the first one that I had ever like written. I wrote it in 3 hours. It was something that I sat down in the kitchen of my parents have a place on 23rd Street, right between Fishtail and Blue. So I remember sitting in the kitchen and being like, Mom, I'm gonna write a book about Ocean City. And she said, okay. And 3 hours later, I was like, here it is, it's done. And we ended up going to, my girlfriends and I ended up going to New York for BookCon. Have you ever heard of BookCon before?
No, but I'm glad.
It's like Comic-Con, I would assume. Like, I've never been to Comic-Con, but to me, I've never been to Comic-Con. But it's like Comic-Con except for like publishers and writers. So you go around table to table to these different publishers, pitch them your ideas. And the very last one that we went to, I told them my idea and they're like, oh my gosh, put your name down on this thing and we'll send you like information. Mm-hmm. And I had a contract within a couple of months with them. So.
And that's who you're still working with?
Yeah. And they're in New York. They're based out of New York. They found, they do all the marketing. They do all the printing when I need books. However, this is my favorite adult novel because I just knew exactly where I wanted it to go and how I wanted it to happen. It took me 2 years to write and it's only 7 chapters. So it's one chapter for every day of the White Marlin Open. So I don't want to say I'm an expert at it. I'm definitely not an expert at the White Marlin Open in any shape or form.
But you know a lot about it.
I do know a lot more about it because there's a lot more things that people don't know about it, like rules and regulations and where you're allowed to go, where you're not allowed to go, like what you're allowed to use and things like that as far
because
as like
legal marlins. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just feel like it's a really easy read. Like I said, it's only 7 chapters and a lot of people, when they read it, they write me or they like Facebook me or something and say, it was like the greatest read I've ever like read because I knew exactly where things were happening. They knew Aspen Island, they knew the restaurants, they knew, you know, the inlet. So
and
they felt like a personal connection.
Do you keep the names of the places? Like the
I kept them all the same. Yeah. Because I felt like that was more important for readers to find that connection. I don't know about you, but I love reading books about places that I either know about or I've been to.
I was just looking up what I'm reading right now because it's based out of a town outside of Baltimore and but it's a beach town outside of Baltimore and they're using a different name for it. And I'm like, this is obviously Ocean City or like, but it's like the oceans there. Like, so I can't imagine what else there. So let me find the book I'm reading. I'm reading on my Kindle, so I never know the names of the books I'm reading. It's called, where did it go? Girl Forgotten. By Karen Slaughter. And so it's about this girl that like in the 80s she got pregnant and then was like murdered and then they kept her on life support and delivered her baby, and now this U.S. Marshal in future times is trying to like solve that mystery because like, oh, it might have been her dad that murdered the girl. So it's very scandalous, but I don't like that they're like they talk about Baltimore, but then they're talking about a beach town near Baltimore, and I'm like, just keep the name. And just like, did you ever read the Lucy Scores Knock 'Em Out series? So Knock 'Em Out is like a little small town in Virginia, and they talk about Hagerstown, like the girl like used to work in Hagerstown. They talk about DC and Baltimore, and I'm like, I just want it to be a real place.
Like I want to be able to like picture like, oh, I've been there before, and like, oh, I know exactly what it's like we went to Iceland a couple of years ago, so I like tried to find a novel that was based in Iceland to where I could like make a connection, and I was like, oh, I know where that is, like we've seen that before, or you know, we drove across that bridge or like near that place. So it was, I feel like it's more special to read a book when you have that personal connection and you've been there and you've seen it.
Agreed. All right. So you are still a teacher, correct?
Still a teacher. I'm my 18th year. Can you believe it? 18 years. That's crazy.
That's amazing. And what grades have you teach?
So I started in third grade, then I moved up to fourth grade. I teach fifth grade. Right now I teach fifth grade math, fifth grade and sixth grade math. I teach the advanced curriculum now, which is totally kicking my butt because it's like learning it all over again. It is like right now, like we're doing like area of a circle. I haven't used area of a circle. I'm a teacher. I don't use area of a, I'm not an
Like, why am
architect.
I trying to find the area of a circle ever, literally ever?
Right. Well, yeah. It's a lot of the stuff that we haven't used because I'm an elementary school teacher. I don't, you know, I'm not an architect. I'm not a gardener out there building things. I'm not a construction worker. So I've taught third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And actually, one year was really cool because I actually got to loop twice with the same class. So I taught them in third grade, fourth grade, and in fifth grade.
I love that.
And I thought that was like really cool because you already knew them, you knew the parents, you already had like that connection with them. And then one year I did have a class of all
Amazing.
boys, which I thought was so much fun. Okay, everyone says, oh my God, no, so much fun, so
Was
much
it
fun.
on purpose? Like, where were the
It
girls?
was so it was on purpose because it was like one of those like classes coming up, you know, they're just like very spicy.
Yeah.
So I
Okay.
said, put all of them in my room, put all of the spicy kids in my room, and
And they just happen to be males.
well, it did, it was, yeah,
Society, man.
and it was about 20 of them, maybe 23 of them, and they weren't all like out of control, and they were,
Yeah.
looking back, like they just needed that little bit of TLC, and they needed structure, and I'm very good with structure, and I'm very good with behavior management because I don't. I'm clear cut. This is what I expect from you, and
Yeah.
this is what you're going to do. And if you don't do it, then you know there's consequences.
Yeah,
But we
exactly.
had every Wednesday was really cool because we worked and got all of our work done, and then we would have workout Wednesdays. So then we would go outside and run football drills after we did all of our work. They were
So
so into it
cute.
because that's all they wanted to do was go outside and play sports. So as long as we had all of our work done, we would take, you know, 5, 10 minutes, and we would go do workout Wednesdays. And I'd still
Poor
talk with
thing.
some of them. Like some of them still email me and, you know, tell me how
What
they
grade
both
was that?
graduated. Huh?
What grade was that?
That was fourth grade, a fourth grade
Fourth grade.
class. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So then, what year of teaching were you in when you started writing the ABC book? Or when you wrote it? Because
Oh
you
gosh.
you started and finished at the same time.
I think it was like 2008. No, 18. What is it now? 2014? No, 2024. I think it was 2018. Like this is my math teacher. I shouldn't be broadcasting that I'm a math teacher.
You're doing great.
I think it was 2018 when the ABC book was published.
Okay.
The ABC book. But I'd always wanted to be a writer. So like even like before then, I was still writing for children's magazines and like highlights. Like my very first published article was in the Highlights magazine that, you know, you used to get in the mail when you were a kid. Oh.
My daughter gets the highlights.
Oh, is this still like a big.
Oh yeah, she loves it. She looks forward to getting her magazine every month.
Oh, see? So
It has
mine
cute little
was.
like stories in it and articles and
Yeah.
yeah,
So
search
mine was like
online.
the how to, like how to build. Mine was how to build a car out of a box
Oh my
and.
God, they just had one like that. It was like how to build a car out of a tissue box.
Oh, no, mine was like a big one. You could actually sit inside of it and like, oh, you could like pretend to like drive it, and it had like straps so you could like, you know, wear it around
the house. And then like the next month you would send in a picture of you that you did it, and then they the picture. Yeah, they still do that.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Okay, so you always wanted to be a writer, but you became a teacher, and then now you're writing. Do you ever think that you will leave teaching early to just be a writer, or is this something that you found that you're able to kind of like juggle and manage, and maybe it's like a way of almost not being I feel like sometimes you get lost in being a teacher.
When
you have something like this also going on, you're like, this is not my whole life. I can relax, and here I go.
A lot of people are like that. I feel like a lot of people kind of, like you said, like lose themselves like teaching as their job. So like they even like take work home with them. Like I have a strict rule. School stays at school, you know, grading papers. I will manage my time as efficiently as I can to get everything that I need done like at school. And once school's over, like that's my me time. That's my writing time. And I'm going to add an even another layer on top of it. But I also work as a sign language interpreter.
So fun. The Fall Out Boy concert?
Say it again?
Did you do the Fall Out Boy concert?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, I can't do the podcast on the 20th because I'm doing sign language for the Fall Out Boy concert. I was like, what the hell?
So, yeah, that's, so when I first started teaching in 2006 in Baltimore County, you know, they offer all these, like, extra classes that you can take for, you know, credits. And the summer, my first year, I decided not to do summer school. Like, I just wanted a break after. My parents are like, you need to do something. You can't just like lay around the house and do nothing. I'm like, okay, like I'll take a sign language class. Cause I thought it was like really cool. I've always like, you know, wanted to teach myself, but there's like these books.
It's hard to teach like, yourself. Really, yeah.
Right. It's hard to like, you can't see like very, you know, clearly in a book, like how to like make the hand shapes and the movements and things like that. So I went and I loved it. I fell in love with like sign language. My teacher at the time was like, hey, like, you know, you're kind of good at this. You should probably continue. And I'm like, well, how do I do it? So she gave me the information to go to CCBC. Catonsville had a program. Wow. And I went to school part-time at nighttime after I was teaching. And ended up, I think it was a two-year program, but it took me 4 years to get through because I was going part-time at nighttime. Yeah. So I would go to school and teach at 4. I would get to class by like 5, stay there until 8 or 9, and then go home.
Every day for 2 years?
4 years.
Four years?
4 years, yeah. Oh. But I loved it so much. And that's the thing, like, yeah, it's a job. And I've always wanted to meet, you know, be one of those people that says, oh my gosh, like, it's not work. It's, I love it. Like, my job is not, like, I just love it so much. And I do. I love interpreting. It's so much fun, like, to be able to facilitate that communication between the hearing world and the deaf world. But I also get to do really cool things, like, that I wouldn't experience had I not become a sign language interpreter.
Did you get to meet Fall Out Boy?
No. We really don't get to meet anybody. Like, the only person that we've really ever met is Joe Coy. He's the Filipino comedian.
Okay.
He is, like, really, really hysterical.
I was like, please don't be a politician and make me look dumb.
No. But they're just, like, really fun. And, like, they'll see us, like, interpreting, you know, every so often. And they'll be, like, go and, like, point at you and, be, like, you know, say thank you or, like, give us a thumbs up or something like that. Aww. And the last time, like, this is the Fall Out Boy concert, we got a very, very nice email from the CFG arena from the client that said that they had a wonderful experience, that, you know, having an interpreter there really just enhances their experience at a concert. And everybody always,
I mean, they can still feel the music. Like, you can feel,
well, that's
that.
What people are like, well, why would somebody who's deaf need an interpreter? Yeah, like, well, like, there's so many different variations of deafness. There's hard of hearing, loss of hearing. There's, you know, the one time I interpreted a concert, the daughter was hearing, but the mother was deaf, and the mother wanted to know the content of the songs, which, hearing, you would.
She's like, this is inappropriate.
Right. Like, well, we're getting out of here.
In the meantime, daughter didn't even know what the song
was. Right. So, yeah, like you said before, like being able to like time manage, like not only with teaching, I want to be able to be a really good, effective teacher, but also that's not, you know, that's my job. I want to be able, like, writing is like my therapy, and then sign language is just my fun job. Like, I like the variety. That's what I love about having all these like different side hustles, is they give you a lot of different variety.
Yeah. And you get to meet a lot of different types of people.
Oh yeah. Like I think like people really don't understand until you get older and like really things like start to work out for you. It really is who you know.
Oh yeah.
And I remember my mom always telling me, don't ever badmouth anybody or say anything negative about anything or anyone to anybody, because you never know,
yeah,
A, who is related to who is friends with who, but you know, you may
not.
In 2 years, that person might be your lifeline to a new job or to, you know, something that you really need. And I always like take that to heart. Like I always try to like speak nicely and kindly of people and to people.
Exactly. All right. So what do you think your favorite genre to write is?
I really like, you mean like children's versus like the adult?
Yeah, like, and I mean, like you said, you did highlights, you know, you did articles online, you've done children's books.
So everything that I've written has some type of like perk to it that I really enjoyed. Like, I really love writing the adult, like, you know, the novel about the White Merlin Open, because I knew about it and it was that personal connection. But I also mm-hmm. really love like the traditional like ones, like if I have it, I thought that I brought it. Here it is. This one's If You Are, How to Plant a Jelly Bean. Like that's a children's book that it's a tradition that we've done growing up. Like the night before Easter, you go outside and you plant jelly beans and then they grow into lollipops after the Easter.
What? That's so cute. I'm totally doing that.
Yes. Like there's a whole book about it. I wrote it. It's right here.
Hello.
Plant. You've never done that before? What? Okay. So this is going to like. This is going viral. Okay. So yeah, it tells you how to plant jelly beans the night before Easter. You go to bed, and then once the Easter Bunny visits, that's how you know that he's visited, is when you go outside and you see if the jelly beans have grown into lollipops, like you know he's visited.
I want to redo my childhood. I want you to be my mom, Katie.
Okay, this is all my mother, though. So this is like something that we did growing up, and for her, I made the girl...
Dedication page?
Well, the dedication is actually to my sister, because if you were to interview my sister separately, she's younger, and ask her, did we really see the Easter Bunny? We're taking it to our grave that we both saw the Easter Bunny outside of our bedroom window. We lived next to a boatyard growing up. And we swear he had on purple overalls and a green jacket.
There he is.
And he had a wheelbarrow full of Easter baskets. And he was going down the boat, like the boatyard, with this
basket. Like, I really believe
I'm not kidding. As if you could ask her separately, she would tell you the exact same story. And for all I know, it could have been a neighbor. But my sister.
So that's really sweet that someone would go through like all of that.
Yes. And like, I don't, in my mind, like it's 100% true. It could be 100% false, but it definitely happened when we were little.
Until so you have what, kids and you wait for the Easter Bunny to come and he doesn't come and you're like,
So the dedication is for my sister. And I said, because we really saw him.
Oh.
And I had the illustrator draw my sister and I. And my mom, I gave her the copy, and you know, she's like,
crying.
This is so, like, so meaningful. So, when it comes to that kind of stuff, and people say, or they take pictures, like, oh my God, we do this every year. Like, now we have something to like read. You know, everybody has The Night Before Christmas. Like, that's the traditional, like, book for Christmas.
I love this. It.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we can end it now. No, I'm just kidding.
We're done.
That's great. Oh, this kind of goes into my next question, because, you know, like a lot of children's books usually contain some sort of a valuable life lesson or a theme. And, you know, yours are like that one is very like thematic for Easter and, you know, believing in magic. And then like your ABC book, you know, that's very themed around a local place that we all love, a local tourist attraction, Ocean City.
Right.
But like, do you have any other books that you think have like a life lesson or a message that educators can use to then spark some meaningful discussions in the classroom?
Well, I feel like this is like perfect for teachers. It's called Inside Out Jammies.
Yeah.
How to Get a Snow Day. Like, who wouldn't want to get a snow day in a day off?
So cute.
So it's set up like the 12 Days of Christmas, where it gives you the first thing to do and then it repeats, and it's very repetitive. So, you know, repeating everything in the book and memorizing, mm-hmm. that kind of like is like one of those like helpful teacher tips. Yeah. It's very interactive. Like, there's all the things that are in here. Teachers can actually come up with actions to do. So you're getting that kinesthetic like aspect to it as well. I don't know. It's just, it's again, I feel like it's traditions and things that.
And does it count up like the 12 days of Christmas does?
Say it again.
Does it build like 12 days of Christmas does?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, the first one is, all right, put your jammies inside out, put a spoon under your pillow, ice cubes on the front lawn, yell snow day in the freezer, ice cube down the toilet. This one, so I actually had to do some research because here in Maryland, we only had like 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, I knew about and the spoon like, under the pillow, the ice cubes, and the jammies.
I had never heard of the spoon under the pillow. And I was like, what? That's kind of crazy. Then someone said they put white crayons in the windows.
Oh.
Because the white kind of like is like supposed to like pull down the snow. And I'm like, finally, a use for a white crayon. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, other than the Easter eggs.
Right. Like, no one ever. Oh, yeah. Like, you could like use it to like dye Easter eggs.
Yeah.
But like, I also added in like, you know, before it snows, you want to eat cookies and you want to drink hot chocolate.
Cute.
So, but this is one of the books that teachers can bring out when, you know, there is some type of snow and like give, like you said, like magic, like give kids like that little feeling of magic. So while they're young, that they can actually make something happen that's pretty much out of our control.
Oh, I love it. I love it. How about, so like, I know like humor is something that I think would come up like in your books, just normally, but is there anything that has happened while you were writing a book that you've just been like, okay, well, or like maybe like that's not a good idea, I'm gonna go back and redo that? Or
I'm actually pretty good at that. Like, usually things kind of just like flow pretty freely.
Okay.
A lot of like mine are like rhyming, so usually just,
you but know, that can rhymes. Be really funny sometimes, like if you're
yeah,
like,
oh, they. No, mine are pretty clean cut. I don't think I've ever had like an oops moment in there.
Rhyming is tricky.
There is like in one of the books I have, like in Elphys.
Yeah.
It's a book about an elf who wants to be a rock star, and his name is Elphys, like Elvis. And he does get to wear the jumpsuit at the end, like the Elvis jumpsuit.
Okay.
But I feel like this one is not an oops, but a lot of people our age get it. However, if you're younger, they don't understand like that connection. So
they just think his name is.
It's kind of like lost in translation. Like if you're in like the generational gap, I guess.
I was just thinking about that in the car for some reason. I was like, man, I feel like I'm getting to the age where like there's things that I say that like the young kids don't understand what I'm talking about.
Like, why do they dress man. Like that? Like, yeah, like
then I thought about then my brain is so sad. I thought about how sad it's gonna be, like if I live to be like 106, like my great grandma did, and like no one understands anything that I'm ever saying, and they're like,
right,
delusional.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like, we were talking about like floppy disks the other day. Oh, Oregon Trail. But I don't think it even exists anymore. But we're taking the dog for a walk, and I don't know, after all that rain, and there was like this rush of like water, like at the park where we go, and we're like, I don't know, do we build a bridge? Do we forge the river? Do we take the cattle through? Yeah. Nobody understood.
No, just you alone.
I'm like, oh.
Funny thing, my like high school boyfriend bought a disc of Oregon Trail like to put on his computer, and totally like wiped his computer.
Does it still exist? I hope it does.
I don't know. I mean, back then it was like a CD-ROM got mailed to the house, and then it just like trashed his whole computer.
Oh no!
So I wonder if there's.
I'm gonna have to like look up and see if there's like an app, like an Oregon Trail app. It'll probably come up like the actual Oregon Trail map.
There has to be an Oregon Trail app.
Like a GPS of the Oregon Trail.
Yeah. All right. So you just got back from vacation too. So you were in St. Croix.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, we just came back from St. Croix, spring break, and that's I said, beautiful. You need to take me someplace before I lose my mind.
Yeah.
And honestly, we weren't looking to go like to any specific place. We were like, let's just go to Florida. It's going to be like really nice down there.
Yeah.
However, the flights were like outrageous. I'm talking
everyone was there.
It was incredibly like expensive. And I'm like, well, if we're going to go and, you know, pay that kind of money, I want to go someplace I've never been before. And it was actually cheaper to fly to St. Croix than it was to fly to Key West or Tampa or any
place like down in Florida.
It was.
I saw you did a lot of reading.
It was really gorgeous. I did. I found like this book. Actually, it's right here. I have everything like right inside the dog bed.
Right in the dog bed.
So, yeah. I always try to find independent bookstores because they're so important to us, like authors, that, you know, they're always supporting us and getting like our work out there. But they recommended Pula, which is a book about a catamaran that was built, but it's from the boat's perspective. So the boat is the narrator. And I was like, genius. I have to get it. And it's signed. Wow. It's like signed by the author. Like I bought.
And she's a local author, right?
So she was a local St. Croix author. Yeah. Her name is Emmy Thomas. And I looked her up on Instagram. I don't think she has Instagram.
Yeah.
I think she's like one of the like older generational writers that doesn't have all of that. Unless I just haven't found her yet.
Yeah.
So, but it's like so good so far. And
written by the boat's perspective. That's so cool. When I read Remarkably Bright Creatures, which everybody was reading there for a little bit. I don't know if you read it. It's written from an octopus's point of view. It was like, I cried. I was sobbing like a baby by the end. Like, is the boat going to make me cry if I read it?
Isn't that cool how somebody can think of an idea and like really kind of just like twist it to where it's, it's not the norm, but it works.
It was so beautiful. It was literally at my mother-in-law's outside while the kids were inside like playing. And I was like, it was like a really hot summer day, and I'm like sweating, but I can't stop reading. And there's like sweat all over my Kindle, and I'm sobbing because of what happens at the end with the octopus. And I'm just like, this is so funny.
I love books like that. I love books that like make you.
I will say it was super slow at the beginning. I was like, what am I reading?
There's something. Have you tried like listening to books too? Like, do you listen?
Not. I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it, and I think it has a lot to do like. You know, back whenever I was taking courses and doing like my master's coursework, I have to like physically write my notes. Like I'm not like typing it out. Like that doesn't, I think it's almost the same thing. There's something with my brain. Like if I'm listening, I'm not paying attention or I just don't think it does the same thing. And I hate on audiobook people all the time.
One of the best audiobooks I wrote was the Chip and
Joanna Gaines. The audiobook.
Right. Chip and Joanna Gaines, that one. And the Matthew Perry autobiography, because they were the ones that read the book.
And I think that's really cool. It's almost like they're telling me about themselves.
Exactly. Right? Like, so I would listen to it driving. Like I listened to the Chip and Joanna Gaines one driving to Key West. So I had like all that time. And then the Matthew Perry one, I was driving back and forth to Ocean City. And I felt like he was like sitting in the car, like you said, like telling me the story.
Yeah, his life story. Are you a big reader then? Like, I know you're a writer, so I don't know. I feel like they could go hand in hand, but also that seems like a lot. Like, reading to me is like a big hobby.
I always, like empathize with kids at school who are like, when you say, okay, like, read a passage, and then I'll give you a couple minutes, and the teacher's like, all right, we have to, like, all right, what did you learn? I was always a student that was, like, only, like, a quarter of the way through when the teacher was like, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't a bad reader. I just am extremely slow. Like, it will take me 3 to 4 months to read a book sometimes because I am just so slow at it. Like, I just
finished. Well, audiobooks are great for you.
Huh?
And audiobooks are great for you. Like,
yeah. Like, but like you said, like, are you really paying attention? Like, so it just, like, I don't know. I do like listening to them because I drive often.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've listened to more books recently than I have actually read some.
Okay. Is there a book in particular that. So I got, you know, took 2 years off, got lost in this world of like book talk and Instagram, people reviewing books for like moms who like lost themselves. And I would like cry looking at these reels of people who are like, imagine you're a mom and you read this series and it brings you back into loving reading. And that's really what like A Court of Thorns and Roses did for me, which is so like basic. I know, I don't care. And... But I think about like teachers, because like when you're teaching full time, you're doing your life for the other part of the full time. You're not really wanting to like sit down and read a book, but I really do think it's so important. Like a lot of my friends are doing the hard 75 and reading 10 pages a day is part of that. Like it's part of getting back into your like fittest form, like, you know. And I just don't know if you found a book that you think like would get teachers back into reading or like taking the time for themselves.
I just think it's all about, like you said, like taking the time to do it. Like 10 pages a day doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of is, especially if you are teaching full time, if you're parenting full time. You know, some teachers don't get home until 5:30, 6 o'clock sometimes when you have a faculty meeting, and you're still doing bath time, dinner, book time at the end.
Yeah.
So it is really hard to. I do have a coworker who does listen to books on her way to work every day. So that's like a good way to do it. I didn't think that I would enjoy the Matthew Perry book, but I really, really enjoyed that one because I loved Friends so much. And I felt like he was like a friend.
Yeah.
So
basically, like, find something that already interests you and get back into it. Like, I knew I liked fantasy books, but I didn't know that I would like fantasy books like that. Like, I liked The Hunger Games, and I kind of liked Harry Potter. I'm sorry. I, like, wasn't, like, I read them. I stayed up and waited for them to come out because that's, like, my age group. Like, it was, they were the same age as me growing up. So, but I really loved, like, The Hunger Games and then the Divergent series. So, like, I kind of knew that maybe I would like A Court of Thorns and Roses, not knowing how, like, deep into this new world she, like, went. I was like, whoa, holy crap. This person
Do you ever, like, go and read, like young adult novels? Like, the ones, like, Percy Jackson and...
Oh, I haven't read that one, no. Or those.
No, like, I had, like, a girl who was, like, super into Percy Jackson. And it kind of, like, she was trying to explain it to me, and it sounded very fantasy. And it sounded like something I would not personally want to read. But the kids loved them. Like, she was, like, so, like, and they were, like, thick. They were, like, Harry Potter thick.
Yeah. I do love young adult novels.
I like them because they're quick.
Yes.
I can like get through them like pretty quickly. And then if I like them, then I'll recommend them to like my students. So, like the I Survive series. Like, I think those are like really great books because they are pretty quick and they're informative. And I always
recommend them. Like, they're kind of funny.
Them. I always like do Wayside. I always like to recommend Wayside School because they're silly books.
I did love it when my teacher would like read aloud at the end of class, and it had nothing to do with class. Some of my favorite memories. So
we those just would be
fun for that, series. I think too.
Yeah, like I said, we just finished the whole Wayside series. There's 3 books. It's about a school that was built sideways. So instead of 30 classrooms this way, it's 30 classrooms this way. And it's about the class on the 30th story. And it was really, it's really fun because all 3 books have the same characters. And, you know, it's just, like you said, it has nothing to do with, like, the curriculum per se. It's just, like, that break in the middle of the day that they need.
Yeah, and you could, like, put your, like, knees up on the desk and lean back. I don't know.
I sit in my rocking chair, and they're, like, they have, like, stuffed, they have, like, stuffed animals in the classroom, and they go back up a stuffed animal, and they're sitting there like this the whole time. Yeah. Like, some of the stuff they catch at that I'm reading out loud, they're, like, that happened, or that was so-and-so. And
they're, like, yeah, you're right.
So.
All right. Are you ready to play Never Have I Ever Author Teacher Edition?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm sorry. This keeps going off.
It's okay.
Did you hear that?
I did, but I don't like, know if anybody like heard it. Something. Maybe everybody didn't hear it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oops.
All right. Never have I ever forgotten the name of one of my characters while I was writing.
Oh, all the time. All the time. Right? When you have so many of them in a novel, you're trying to like figure out who is who and who is where at what time, and is that person even there? Is that the same day? So, all the time.
Yeah, do you have, I imagine there's, like, a board and has all the, like, strings, like, the FBI.
Do you know, like, the big post-its?
Yeah.
I had, like, a whole wall of, like, big post-its of this couple, this is what this person looked like, this is where they met, and like, I had, like, huge post-its everywhere.
Backstories. Everyone had a story.
Yeah.
I love it. Never have I ever written a character based on someone I know and hoped they wouldn't recognize themselves.
No. No, but I did talk to somebody at a wedding, and I asked them, like, okay, like, I'm doing, like, this thing about the White Marlin Open. What do you guys do out there when you aren't catching fish? Ooh. And he told me some, like, really silly things, and I'm like, what? Really? And one of those things did end up in the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was not, like, scandalous or anything. It's just, like, a stupid boy thing. Like, you would never catch girls doing it. But you would definitely, like, yeah, boys would definitely do something stupid like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll have to read it. Next one is, never have I ever accidentally included a typo or grammatical error in one of my published works. I read these in my books all the time, so I'm sure you have.
So actually Elphys.
Yeah.
This one, the character's name is Elphys, but there was an autocorrect. It ended up, the character said, okay, Elvis, good luck, or something like that. And somebody actually emailed me and said, hey, like, I don't know if this is the typo, or was this just like a little, like, you know, forwarding to what was going to happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you caught the forwarding.
Did it on purpose.
It was, yeah, definitely a typo. Like, autocorrect happens all the time. And actually in the novel, there's a couple, I think there's like actually one or two chapters that were printed twice by mistake. And like, I always, like, if I'm reading and I see a mistake, I'm like, I don't even care that it's a mistake, because I just know, like, nothing is perfect.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But yeah. To me, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, there's mistakes in it. It looks bad. I think it looks bad for me. But yeah. At the same time, it's, nothing's perfect.
And it's not your fault. That has nothing to, like,
No.
It's out of your hands.
Formatting or anything. I don't do the printing. Exactly. I just do the writing part of it.
Never have I ever used writing as an excuse to avoid a social obligation.
All the time.
Never have I ever had to Google something bizarre for the sake of research and hope that no one saw my search history.
Yes. 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 Yes.
What were some weird things you had to Google for the white marlin? I want to know.
Like I said, things that people do when they're on the boat, or to be honest, like, I'm thinking of like a new novel coming out. Like, I would love, like, to write a new novel, but have something to do with, like, illegal things.
Mm.
And I don't know anything about this illegal stuff. So I would have to do a lot of, like, I don't know anything about it. But if somebody were to look at my Google search, they'd be like, she definitely has some type of knowledge about something.
Or maybe after this event, maybe I know something about the illegal.
Like, I don't know, like, about grams and weight.
Oh, gosh, what a fun novel.
How about that for forwarding? Like, for...
You go, Elvis. Oh, never have I ever written a plot twist that even I didn't see coming until I hit the page.
Yeah, I remember my mom read the novel, and she actually texted me and said, Leanne deserved what was coming to her. Like, I can't believe she's such a terrible person. And talking about this character that I come up with, and I was like, well, good. I'm glad that you think that, because I thought so too.
That way about her.
She was just like, I can't believe. And then she's like, oh, and her, later on, she's like, oh, and her husband, they deserve each other. They just, ew, I don't even like them. I'm like, good, because nobody should.
You love your mom.
Yeah.
She's best mom. Never have I ever acted out dialogue between my characters while alone just to get the feel of it.
No, I don't think so. Okay. But I do kind of, like, think to myself, how would this really play out in real life? Is it, like, too cheesy? Is it too, like, gushy? Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Never have I ever received a strange message from a reader that made me question my sanity.
My sanity? No. But I did write something about the White Marlin Open for the website. It was like top 10 things that you didn't know about the White Marlin Open. And somebody did make a comment that I needed to do more research, because the rule that I wrote was not the rule per se. What I mean by that is when they hook a white marlin, or when they hook a fish in, like, this tournament, you're not supposed to pass the rod. Like, if I'm, like, reeling it in, I can't pass the rod to you because my arms are tired. Otherwise, that's a DQ. Like, the fish is disqualified from it.
Okay.
However, the technicality is, if, like, the first mate is the one that hooks it, they can pass it on to an angler. So it was more of a technicality kind of thing, but they were like, you're wrong. And I'm like, oh, okay. So not question my sanity, but you always, like, question when somebody, like, questions your writing. You're like,
yeah,
I really do it. Was am I wrong? Am I right?
But, exactly. Oh, well, I mean, I feel like there's always going to be haters, but
there are always going to be somebody that, but at the same time, like, you can't please everybody.
Yes, exactly. All right. I am going to wrap this up because I don't want to go any longer. I don't want to get to an hour. I feel like no one listens to podcasts that are an hour long. So I'm not going to do news today, but just a little teaser. In Nebraska, they are having K through 12 paras become teachers through this like pilot program that they're doing. So they're just having paraprofessionals just do like a couple of like internship hours in the classroom that they're working in, and then they're giving them classroom jobs for the following year. So that's crazy, Nebraska. What are you doing? It's fine, I guess, but oh my God.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, whatever. Hopefully they do great, you know? Hopefully
this gives them... okay, there could be really beneficial things to this because mm-hmm. they already know the students. They already know, like, the style of the teaching, of the yeah. teachers that they're working with. They're like, yeah. what works, what doesn't work. And so there could be some, like, positive things that come from this.
I know, but I'm thinking they get thrown into, like, their own classroom the next year. Like, maybe they're not even at that school because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Hopefully they are, and I mean, there's a lot of jobs that I wish, you know, I could just go and hang out and watch and then do. Like, I would love to be a labor and delivery nurse. You think I could just go, like...
Like, just, what is that called? Oh, shadow, just shadow for a day.
Just shadow some people birthing babies, and then, like, in the next year, I could be a labor and delivery nurse, because that would be cool.
I don't see why not.
It's different. It is different than teaching. I understand that. But, you know, just saying. Kind of weird.
I think we should come back another time with a panel of teachers and talk about a 4-day school week.
Hell yeah. All right. Next Let's topic. I got openings in September, so.
There we go.
We'll put a pin in it and come back.
I think we should.
This is a great topic. I love that. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook at Teacher Wines, also The Tipsy Teacher and The Tipsy Teach. Good luck figuring out which one's which. Just kidding. The Instagram one's The Tipsy Teach. But the best thing you can do for us is tell a fellow teacher, friend, or anyone that you know to listen, and make sure you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to your podcast so that we're easier for future fans to find. And here's your little gift for making it this far in our journey here. Your discount code for checkout at teacherwines.com is tipsypod, TIPSYPOD. And we will see you guys next time.